afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is the sixth day of January in the year 2008. I'm your host, Alex Hansery, with you for the next 2 hours, encouraging your phone calls, your news tips, and much, much more at 866-841-1065. We also have another number if you're listening locally in the Texas area, 512-904-8014. You know, there's one particular headline that I'm going to begin our show today with, and I'm going to make a couple comments on it, and I know this is something that many of you can also relate to. There's a new study that finds another reason to hate the collapsing economy, the current recession that we're in, soon to be a depression. More tickets. Now, we're reading from the St. Louis Post, and it begins by saying the economist got a speeding ticket, and it got him thinking about why. Thomas A. Garrett, an assistant vice president at the St. Louis Federal Reserve, knew he deserved to be ticketed while on vacation in Pennsylvania a few years ago. But he wondered, are traffic tickets purely about public safety, or are there other factors at play? Many motorists probably have wondered the same thing, sitting on the highway's shoulder waiting for a citation, but Garrett turned it into a scholarly pursuit. He decided to conduct a study on the issue of higher tickets during a time of a recession. Traffic tickets go up significantly when local government revenue falls, they found in the study. The study showed that for the first time, evidence of how local governments behave, in part, as though traffic tickets are a revenue tool to help offset periods of fiscal distress. No surprise, some ticketed motorists might say, but Garrett and co-author Gary A. Wagner, an economist at the University of Arkansas, Little Rock, said they confirmed a connection that seemed to exist only in isolated anecdotes, and they put a number on it. Controlling for other factors, a 1% point drop in local government revenue leads to a roughly 0.32% point increase in the number of traffic tickets in the following year. And so there is a statistical connection that is described as being significant. So this is where we begin. We're talking about the depression that's taken place, the recession that we're already in, but they couldn't tell you for at least a year. And we're seeing an actual study being done on the raping of the American people. There's nothing new to the concept of what we're talking about here. More tickets in a time of greater economic difficulties when it comes to the city and their budget, the state, and also the same thing for the federal government. This is also a year where in Oregon they're going to be fining bars that they allow people to smoke. They were able to smoke last year, but now they put a ban on it. They can fine people and collect revenue for the state. This is very interesting to see this happen. I actually got on the phone earlier today. I have a $70 ticket that I was given last month. I parked my car outside a coworker's house, and I was only going to be in for a couple minutes, just had to drop something off. Walked in, walked out, and there's a cop behind my car, and he is writing me a ticket. And I don't understand why there's so many police out there that aren't seeing the big picture, that aren't developing a heart. But regardless, I can only get upset to the point of screaming and shouting about something over so many issues today. I can't do it over everything. So I basically make a phone call today after they give me the ticket in the mail and say I owe $70. And I say, well, can I make a payment plan? I'll pay this off in increments. I'll pay $10 today and I'll pay $10 next month. They also say I have the option of going down to the judge and asking him to reduce the ticket, which I think I ought to do. This is something that I've done in the past. So I can deal with this, but a lot of people can't, and a lot of people don't know what to do, and a lot of people don't have the time to go and make a phone call or to go down to court. All they do is just pay the ticket in the mail. And they accept the raping. They accept the attack on their wallets because the city's going through a financial slump. The other day at work, I saw a couple coworkers being given their garnishment notices for not paying their parking tickets. This is something that I've been through before. I've only had to pay about, through garnishment, about $400 at best, at most. Maybe $500. Actually, it is a little bit larger than that now that I think about all the different times they got me. But that is pale by in comparison to what another coworker got, and that was a notice that she owed tens of thousands of dollars in back parking tickets. And if you don't pay him, they go to the state, they quadruple, perhaps sometimes even more. And that's where you get a number like several thousand dollars, up in upwards of $10,000. For what? Parking tickets? And so this is one particular report that I want to highlight. And again, we have a lot of news that you may want to take a look at alexansary.com. We're also coming to you live on justin.tv/alexansary. That's the webcam. And, of course, oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, you can listen to Oracle directly from alexansary.com, so you can look at the news and actually listen to the Flash Player, all within that page. I just don't have my own chat room. I don't really need one. I think the Oracle chat room is entertaining enough. And, of course, there's some other things I'd like to bring to the website. If you'd like to volunteer to work on a couple pages, there's a preparedness section I'd like to add to the website. I'd like to have a banner up at the top. That's going to lead to a lot of information that, again, is going to be at my site, hosted at my site. So that's going to take some time, but hopefully in the near future I'm going to be able to bring that to the site. So if you'd like to help with that, you can contact me at alex_ansary@hotmail.com. So that's just one thing right there. Again, and again, we have cash-strapped states weighing in on the concept of selling roads and parks. We're seeing a lot of different states going through this. New York, they're hurt. They're hurt quite a bit. Minnesota, California, Massachusetts, Illinois. Many of those states are thinking about selling or leasing toll roads, parks, lotteries, and other assets to raise desperately needed cash. So here's the thing. If a state, or a country for that matter, goes entirely broke, does the person about to acquire that property or that asset have to put any money down? And I think in some cases we will see some people acquiring parts of the United States literally for no money down. The U.S. steel industry is now in a state of collapse. We're looking at the heraldsun.com.au. They are reportedly in collapse and looking for a massive government investment program of up to $1 trillion to stimulate demand. Output of steel has plunged 50% since September as construction and car production has fallen sharply amid a U.S. recession and the global credit crunch. Industry executives are pleading for a huge public infrastructure investment program of up to $1 trillion over the next 2 years under President-elect Barack Obama's proposed stimulus plan. The list goes on and on and on. People don't seem to understand that money does not grow on trees and you cannot run an economy by simply using a printing press. There's something else I'm going to bring up right now, and I'm going to see if I can get an article to go with that. But it was at Clyde Lewis's Ground Zero Lounge last night, and he did a presentation on digital TV. The deadline is February 19th, 2009. That's when the switchover is going to occur. There's a couple different factors, obviously, that's going to be highly noticeable. Number one, it's going to hurt small broadcasters in a certain degree, but most of all, what this is doing is creating a tracking device for the government as to what you watch, how much you watch it, what you're into, what your purchasing habits are, even, if they can detect perhaps RFID or things around. That's pretty out there. We don't know that that's out there, but we know that they're tracking what you're watching, and in some cases listening, because we know that Google has been doing that to the laptop. So they've had some experience in social networking websites on tracking people and analyzing their behavior and putting that into some type of a database that's defining your personality, what you like, what you don't like in the digital realm. This is the stuff that corporations buy, so they can better target you specifically on what they think you're willing to buy, what you might be interested in purchasing with your hard-earned dollars. And so those are two elements. Pushing out the smaller broadcasters as we see the media monopoly continue to centralize. We also see, the tracking, the tracing, things of that nature, what audio may be going on in the room. That could be very well something that's a part of the project. They're not announcing that, but they're saying that they could, you know, make suggestions based on your watching, your television viewing habits. There's also a couple other factors as well when it comes to digital TV, the new transmission, and that's the conversation of mind control, subliminal messages coming through the digital realm. A little more hidden than it was in the past, in the analog realm. And so those are three elements that I'm highlighting when it comes to digital TV. There's the subliminal realm, mind control, the media monopoly, and, of course, the surveillance society, tracking you, tracing you based on where you're going on the TV set, your viewing habits, and, of course, any other information they can gather, whether it be something going on in the background audio-wise, or RFID. Now, in going back to the news, so far we've mentioned a country in a recession, going into a depression, more tickets, more police, and again, we were talking about this yesterday and the day before, and we'll talk about it in the future. Now, the military is doing real good right now, already running infomercials on CBS, talking about all the recruiting goals that they are making right now. Now, they're not having a problem getting people to join the military. After all, people do have to pay their bills, and when there are no jobs, and there is one employer that's still letting the people know, we're still looking for a few good men and women, it is natural to see the military make its recruiting goals. Because a lot of people are just reacting to the world that's being given to them instead of proactively creating their own reality. Because many people now are convinced that, well, they really can't create their own reality. They're destined to be slaves. They're destined to be consumers. We can't change anything, so why even try? These are very challenging times where if you want to get through the things coming in the future, you need to be connected to your own spirit, your own higher self. And that's where the truth is. It's not in what the government's saying, or what in Reuters is saying, or in what this website is saying, or what she is saying, or what he is saying. You're going to have to understand some of the stuff on your own. In the end, you're only going to be able to trust yourself. You can trust others. You might have some close friends, but you need to be able to trust yourself. If you can't do that, if you can't trust your own judgment, how can you say that you're in a position to be trusting the judgment of others? Because that in and of itself is a judgment call. To put your faith in somebody else. To take what they're saying at face value. I've said it for years. You can agree with what I'm saying, but at least know why you agree with what I'm saying. How you got to that conclusion on your own. And I don't hear enough other talk show hosts saying that. When we come back, let's review this story. Government aid could save U.S. newspapers. That's sparking a debate. It's in Reuters right now. Connecticut lawmaker Frank Castro to save the local newspaper as his duty, but others think he and his colleagues are setting a worrisome precedent for government involvement in the U.S. press. And is it a surprise that our government would be involved in the press? They already are. They have CIA agents working at CNN. Give me a break. Briefly, we're going to go into Gaza. Focus on the Middle East. That's the headline in the Oregonian. Calls grow worldwide for Gaza truce. Israel says it will not call off its attack against Hamas until there's peace and tranquility. Again, everything begins with Israel says this, Israel says that, and there's some stuff in the news right now with a school that was assaulted, over 30 dead, and you're listening to NPR, the so-called Voice of Reason, and they're quoting the Israeli military going, well, they said they were fired at first, which contradicts everything else that the witnesses are saying, but they make sure that you hear, well, the military says this. The military says that in Israel. So we're going to go with that and accept the fact that they claim they were shot at first, and we actually don't know that. Now, it could be the truth, but how do we know at this point? Because they lie so often. They can't take what they say at face value. You can only take it at with a grain of salt. You can only accept so much without seeing the actual evidence itself, and the evidence that we're seeing is a whole lot of dead kids and dead women. And this is not going to stop overnight. They're looking forward to extending this war. There's well over 700 dead. And so there's a lot of people that are discussing this right now. So be aware that this is happening. They've already begun their ground assault in the Gaza Strip. This is enraging other Arab countries, enraging people around the world that are protesting by the thousands. Recently, Condoleezza Rice canceled her trip to China because of what's going on in the Gaza Strip. Obama, who's going to have the first ever Masonic inaugural ball to be held. His silence has been condemned. But in the end, he's not really silent. He stands with Israel. He is not someone who's going to bite the hand that feeds him. The troops are wary of Obama as commander-in-chief. They're not convinced that he's going to bring them back right away, especially when he announces a surge of 20,000 into Afghanistan. So this is some pretty heavy stuff. I want to now report on a new development that came out today. William Butler warns of massive dollar collapse. He says that Americans must prepare themselves for a massive collapse in the dollar as investors around the world dump their U.S. assets. He's a former Bank of England policymaker. So we have George Salente, Jim Rogers, Joseph Stiglitz, this individual, many others that are talking about this very thing. IMF heads, people in the World Bank, people in the UN, forecasting martial law, forecasting rebellion. And before I start reading this report, let me say this. We only need so much to live financially because we only need so much to stay alive in terms of our food, water, and shelter. A lot of the extra stuff, the fancy cars, the fancy diamonds, fancy rings, fancy coats, it's not needed. So some people are going to be rioting because they haven't mismanaged their money. And they don't know how to live more comfortably while being dirt poor. Now, as someone that's been dirt poor their whole life, in other words, myself, you can't tell me that some of these people have it worse. A lot of people have a lot of things that they're used to buying on a regular basis, a certain amount of drinks at the bar every week. I'm not speaking for everybody. I'm speaking for some people. They need to learn how to be more frugal. So if we don't want to riot, we have to be prepared. No one wants to riot. Begging for food, that's dehumanizing. Who do you think's looking forward to something like that? People rioting tomorrow aren't going to be expecting themselves to do that in the future, like right now at this moment. As I'm warning people, get prepared. You don't want to be at the front line. You don't want to be begging for a handout when we all know FEMA won't be there. They may be there for some people in pockets, and they'll make a whole little promotional thing with it on the TV screen. It'll be on CNN. Anderson Cooper will be there. Oh, look at the government. They're handing out food in Los Angeles. People are rioting, but the National Guard is here. They're handing out food. Look, they're helping the city municipal system turn their water back on after it was shut down briefly for a couple of days because they can no longer afford to run it and to fund the operations. Do it all in a shoestring budget. You know, we can well see a lot of cities go through this in the next year, no longer being able to fund their municipal system. What do? We call on the federal government, help us, save us. You know, back to going, back to the concept of digital TV, I want to add one more thing. $8 billion, that's how much the government is allocating to make sure that you continue to watch TV, that you continue to watch this propaganda, so you can see martial law on the TV screen, so you can see the surveillance society, so you can see the nightmare being brought to you on flat screen TV, color TV, your own living room, without you even having to go outside or pick up a paper or go on the web. They'll bring it to you on the TV set. They'll keep you entertained and they'll throw graphics at you every other second just to keep you entertained because your attention doesn't last much longer than a few seconds. Forget 30. That was the old days. 30-second attention span. Try 10. Try 7. There's a reason, by the way, commercials are getting shorter. They understand the attention span of the average American is getting smaller. There's so much noise and stuff screaming at us all the time that it becomes a strain on the old cerebral cortex. So again, we see big-time recession, more tickets, government buying up papers, government saying, okay, we're going to allocate $8 billion to make sure that the people keep watching the TV. We see states, cities, counties weighing in on the selling of roads, parks, assets. Our steel industry is dead. And now, they're already reporting a depression in Detroit. The average home cost is $18,000. Unemployment is 21%. I mean, I'm just still playing with the concept in my head of a U.S. city like Detroit already in a depression. It's no surprise, yet it still happens.
My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Covering the latest breaking news and developments live on Alex Ansari, coming to you live on OracleBroadcasting.com, AlexAnsari.com, and Justin.tv/AlexAnsari. There's a couple things that over the course of the break that I'm going to be reporting on that I have just now become aware of. First, we're going to go over and look at India. In the nation of India, we are looking at over 6 million truckers on strike. Food shortages are now feared. The Vegetables Commission agent has said that the available stocks will not last more than 2 or 3 days. As it is, people will start storing things in panic. This is at a time where they're about to go to war with Pakistan. The possibility of them going to war with Pakistan is very high, and now we're looking at the possibility of, again, food riots. We're reading from the Economic Times. Over 6 million trucks went off roads across India in the early hours of Monday, a day after talks with the government over their demand to reduce prices of diesel. Traders voiced fears of food shortages as the indefinite strike started. The truckers started their strike following a call given by the All India Motor Transport Congress. After last-minute talks with Road Transport and Highway Security, Ramdoot Sunday failed to break the deadlock. Truckers loaded before the strike started. Trucks that loaded before the strike started would deliver their consignments if they end up working out the issue with the government. So business continues as usual, this dispute with the government over the cost of diesel. That is what has sparked this particular strike. I also want to take you back about a year to martial law in Burma, what was taking place there. And we can see the cost of diesel at that time going up 500%. A lot of people wondered why the monks were protesting. They were protesting because of the cost of diesel going up 500%. They didn't have a choice. Now, I'm also seeing information like this. Billionaire kills himself over financial crisis. German billionaire Adolf Merkel committed suicide after his business empire ran into trouble in the financial crisis, throwing himself in front of a train near his home, authorities and his family said on Tuesday. The 74-year-old's business interests ranged from pharmaceuticals to cement, and its troubles had recently been compounded by losses on shares in automaker Volkswagen AG. His body was found Monday night on railroad tracks at Blaubeuren in southwestern Germany, prosecutors in nearby Ulm have said. His family, which had reported Merkel missing after he failed to return home Monday, issued a brief statement saying he took his own life. Prosecutor Wolfgang Zier said the suicide note to the family was found, but its contents were not divulged. His holding company, VEM, recently had been in talks with banks to secure credit after its business interests ran up high levels of debt and also lost value amid the global financial crisis. The company declined to say how much it needed or to comment on German media reports that it might have to sell some of its interests. In addition, the holding company recently said it had suffered millions of euros in losses on the shares of automaker Volkswagen AG, which fluctuated wildly last fall as fellow carmaker Porsche SE moved to increase its stake in the company, leaving some investors out of pocket. We're going to see more things like that. In fact, the truth of the matter is we already are. Now, let's step back from all the stuff with the economy. I'm going to brief you on Yellowstone. Okay, I'm going to check the phone lines right now, though, and let you know that if you have anything to say about Yellowstone or if you have a certain perspective on Mount St. Helens, for that matter, I'm curious to hear what it is. I get a lot of questions as to what I think is going to be the future in the Northwest because I talk so much about earthquakes that have happened in this area just last year, a swarm of over 500 of them off the coast of Oregon. We've talked about earthquake swarms in other parts of the planet. And then you remember those amazing pictures we saw last year in Chile, in Santiago, where that volcano erupted. Amazing pictures from that country. Amazing pictures in South America. Amazing pictures that we're getting all over the world as this earth gets prepared for something. It's as if it's slowly moving up to a point to where the Ring of Fire and all of its power, all of its fury, some could say, could be on the cusp of being unleashed. Isn't it a strange time for that? Yellowstone has caught the attention of many, many people. I'm reading from sciencemode.com at the moment. Whole lot is shaken at Yellowstone, where all eyes are on Yellowstone National Park, after what's being called a swarm of earthquakes at the scenic spot. The park is located mostly in Wyoming, but also stretches into Montana and Idaho. Oregon is right next to Idaho. Seismologists monitoring the situation say the earthquake sequence is the most intense in this area for years. Over the last 9 days, more than 500 earthquakes have been recorded beneath Yellowstone Lake. The largest was on December 27th and measured 3.9 on the Richter scale. The most recent one was a 2.6 tremor on Friday night. No damage has been reported inside the park, which experts say is to be expected from earthquakes of the size. The Yellowstone Volcano Observatory is monitoring the unusual earthquake sequence that started on December 26. It reports that more than 300 of the quakes have been reviewed and evaluated by seismic analysts. Depths of the earthquakes range from less than 1 mile to 6 miles below the surface. And so, this is very interesting. And Yellowstone is highly significant, while at the same time, people have been predicting for many years that it would blow. It doesn't mean that this isn't significant or that this isn't going to lead to something else. But the Earth does naturally go through cycles. We know this, and we should accept that. We are biological humans living on a living, breathing planet, and that's not paganism. That's not a religion. It's a basic, fundamental reality. But still, if you look every year at the number of major natural disasters, earthquakes above 7, look at the trends, we are definitely moving into new territory where things are not as they have been in the past. I can guarantee you of that thing, of that particular point, that this is not normal. I want to go back and talk about William Butler, warning of massive dollar collapse before the break, from the telegraph.co.uk. The long-held assumption that U.S. assets, particularly government bonds, are a safe haven, will soon be overturned as investors lose their patience with the world's biggest economy. Professor Butler, a former Monetary Policy Committee member who is now at the London School of Economics, says that this increase in disenchantment would result in an exodus of foreign cash from the U.S. And with that, we'll save the rest for right after this break. Alright, finishing up with this report, and then we're going to blast through a bunch of other news as much as I can today. This is what we see Professor Butler saying on his website. He is a former Bank of England policymaker. He is warning of a massive dollar collapse. He said that the dollar has been kept elevated in recent years by what some call dark matter or American alpha, an assumption that the U.S. could earn more on its overseas investments than foreign investors could make on their American assets. However, this notion has been gradually dismantled in recent years before being dealt the fatal blow by the current financial crisis. The past 8 years of imperial overstretch, hubris, and domestic and international abuse of power on the part of the Bush administration has left the U.S. materially weak financially, economically, politically, and morally, he said. Even the most hard-nosed Guantanamo Bay indifferent potential foreign investor in the U.S. must recognize that its financial system has collapsed. He says investors would rightly suspect the U.S. would have to generate major inflation to whittle away its debt, and the stellar collapse means that the U.S. has less leeway for major spending plans than politicians realize. And so that is a very important report that we needed to go over. Now let's talk about unemployment in Detroit being 21%. They say that the Great Depression has hit Detroit. The average price of a home is now $18,000. Unemployment is, again, 21%, and it's expected to get much worse. Detroit's facing a crisis of epic proportions that officially puts Detroit statistically in real term on par with the Great Depression. Many readers of Tribble Ad Agency are advertising centric, and due to the rash of layoffs within all Detroit advertising firms has put the city on the map for the wrong reasons. It has become the center of all that is wrong with America and nothing of what is right. For example, the crime rate has fallen because of a lack of targets within the city, meaning there is nothing left to steal. In fact, even the criminals don't want to leave jail. What? This is an interesting editorial. I shall go on. They have confirmed that some offenders, notably with those without homes of their own, were now expressing reluctance to leave jail when their sentences were done. Home values have plummeted to levels not seen in half a century, and the 21% unemployment has, in some cases, been projected to double within 12 months if the auto industry totally collapses. To make matters even worse, Detroit has now superseded New Orleans as the worst city in America. But New Orleans has had a hurricane that they could assign blame to. Detroit has no such natural disaster to deal with. I'm going into this report, scrolling down there, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. Okay, so that's Detroit. And I'd like to be able to scroll down here and find the good news. Find the good economic news, the good inspirational economic news where things are bouncing back. Well, there are things bouncing back, or there are, you know, industries doing well. But it's not a time to celebrate for those industries, just Walmart, the McDonald's Corporation, the military, securities, funding for jobs and homeland security. You know, all those things have been doing well for a long, long time. But the reality is, we have to ask the question, why is this happening to all of us globally instead of just worrying about ourselves, our own little self, what's going to happen to me, my, give me my eye, blah, all that stuff that's kept us where we're at. So I see something bigger happening on the horizon. Take a look at this. Now, Russian gas cuts are starting to hit Europe right now. The threat of winter cuts loomed over Europe yesterday as Russia and Ukraine failed to resolve a dispute that led Moscow to cut off gas supplies to its neighbor last week. Despite assurances from the two countries that supply to Europe, they would not be affected, three European Union states reported an immediate drop in pipeline pressure. Poland, Hungary, and Romania, which rely heavily on Russian gas delivered through pipelines that cross Ukraine, said that less gas than expected was being delivered. Romania's pipeline operator said supplies had fallen by 30 to 40%. And so Russia's saying Ukraine hasn't paid them, and they've shut them off from natural gas, and this is affecting the European Union, and people even in the UK are highly concerned about this, them having to pay for higher costs in the near future as a result of what's taking place here. The news prompted the EU, which gets a fifth of its gas from Russia via Ukraine, to summon a crisis meeting in Brussels tomorrow and demand that transit and supply contracts be honored. All right, welcome everyone. We had a brief little pause there. Glad you're still with us. I'm still with you. Thank you for hanging around here. You know, I want to mention those call-in numbers here. 866-841-1065. This is the second hour of Outside the Box. And again, you can catch the show at alexhansery.com. You can watch it at justin.tv/AlexHansery, well, at least when I have the webcam going, and of course, oraclebroadcasting.com. You don't need any software to listen to this show. We have free archives, 16K. You can become a subscriber and get the full quality, 128K. And I know that's something that a lot of people seek out when there's guests like Michael Tsarian on, or there's other guests. There's many shows on this network, so it's always good to have a good hard copy of the information, the things, the topics that we're discussing here. You can also burn some of these things to CD and also walk around with one of those MP3 players and listen to your favorite show while you're jogging, while you're running around, while you're shopping, instead of listening to the same old, same old. You know, it's strange. When I go to the grocery store, I hear the same old 70s songs, the same old 80s songs, and it's like some people don't get tired of listening to the same thing over and over and over and over again. And it gets to be just a little bit pathetic. You know, I wonder how they make these decisions, where they decide that we want to hear Christopher Cross sailing for the 181st time when we're shopping for GMO potato corn chips at Safeway, which is really another scientific laboratory, but the people inside the grocery store don't know that. They're just guinea pigs. People run around looking fatter than hell. You know that? People look fat. People look fatter to me than they've ever really looked. I'm just going to say it. Is it the amount of food that they're eating, or is it something in the food? I don't know, but they look fat and they look dead too. Did you know that? Just go to a buffet and just look at people and look at the loss of life from their face, and you know, watch it all just kind of drained and sucked right out of them as they kind of become one with their sick, twisted, decadent environment that surrounds them. If you'd like to contribute to this show, take a gander over to alexhansery.com and click on the chip in banner. I would greatly appreciate any support. And of course, check out the weekly TV show that's posted there on the right side. Have some fun at a Safeway, a GMO laboratory. Had some fun a couple weeks ago. I think you're going to have some fun watching it, especially the part where I juggle the candy. That's the best part. That's everybody's favorite part. Going back into the news, I saw this late last night. Just had it posted on the website. Talking about more violence coming as a result of what's going on. News, banks failing. Martial law about to be declared, perhaps even a draft if we have a third world war. How else are they going to get that many people to fight the enemies of the future? The actual real standing armies, not shadowy terrorists hiding behind caves and stones and things of that nature. You know, actual enemies. Mass gunmen attack riot police in Athens is the headline from CNN.com. Gunmen fired automatic weapons at Greek riot police in Athens Monday, seriously injuring a policeman in an attack. Police said looked like the work of one of the country's leading Marxist military groups. So they've already caught Greek police, though, using agent provocateurs to stir up violence. So could it be possible that they are, in fact, hiring people to fire off a few shots, which of course makes me think about that school in Gaza when the Israeli military says, well, we had to blow up the school and kill all those kids. There were shots fired. Therefore, we had the pretext to blow the whole thing to smithereens. Police issued statements saying the attack bore the hallmarks of revolutionary struggle, a Marxist group that claimed responsibility for an attack on the U.S. Embassy in Greece in 2007. No one has claimed responsibility for Monday's attack, which followed weeks of violent protests sparked by the fatal police shooting of a teenager last month. They say sparked by it, but that's not really caused that. You look at unemployment there, they say officially 8-point-something%. When we know it's... Now, actually, I think they said it was 7.6. We all know it's going to be above 13-14, which really means we could be looking at 20%, 30% unemployment later on this year, or worse. I know Mo, one of the regular listeners and callers, had said a lot higher in terms of his forecast for unemployment rates. We just don't know at this point. It could be very, very bad. We know it's going to be very, very bad in pockets of the U.S. I think there's going to be pockets of the U.S. going through that Mad Max type of reality where it's a hardcore environment where survival is the top thing on everybody's mind. But you might find other areas of the U.S. where people will be able to benefit a little bit from the downturn. People that will be able to find a way to survive a world or a neighborhood or an area or a county where there are no jobs to live off the grid. I mean, as long as people figure out how to get their rent paid, have their basic needs met, they're going to be able to get by if they're willing to adapt to a different lifestyle. Unfortunately, though, we have to combat constantly stereotypes of hippies living in communes and blah-da-da-da-da. When it comes down to it, there's going to be times in our lives where we have to adjust where we're living to get by. In some cases, we may find ourselves freer. Let me talk about money. Let me talk about bills. Let me talk about debt just for a second. The goal here is to be out of debt. The goal here is to be able to go anywhere in the world and not have to pay back any money whatsoever. To go, to leave, to be free, to be an animal, to be human, to be someone that is not living under the thumb of tyranny of the big banks. Forget just government, the big banks, the financial interests that want people to be in debt. That way, financially, through color of law, oh, the good old law, the law. The law is what they say it is. Through the law, they find a way, with the debt that you accumulate in our country, to maintain the shackles on our ankles through that legal system. Again, the law being what they say it is. And again, what's illegal today is, or legal today is illegal tomorrow. And so you see where I'm going with this. If we can't get out of debt and slash your connections to the grid in many, many ways that we are connected, go ahead and do that. But at the same time, be aware of some of the dangers that exist when taking out loans. To pay back other loans so you can get out of debt quicker. I see some people going that route. I don't know what's going to take out the powers of the big banks. I'm not going to sit here and try to speculate on that for hours. Said I was going to cover a lot of news, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. Gaza. And then we have this to deal with, Gaza. And the question I have is this going to be just like Lebanon? This is going to happen? They're just going to go away, and then we're going to forget about it. And then maybe it's going to happen to flare up in a couple of years, and it'll go away. Or just like it's been going on for thousands of years. People going, this is biblical. Is it really? Or is it the same people doing the same stuff over and over and over again, and the same people being enslaved over and over and over again, the next generation to come already enslaved, and our generation, the next one, after that, having to inherit the debt? our generation and the next one, and perhaps the one after that. Who knows what's going to be going on in the future? But I think we're here for a reason, and I think that we should be aware of that. I think that we should keep that in our focus, the crosshairs in our mind's eye. The last thing we want to be thinking about is that we're a virus, we're a cancer that just needs to be wiped from the earth. Some people will go around acting like that. Some of us are here to stabilize some of the dark energy that's on this planet, to transcend it into something totally different. I mean, come on, Sacramento State graduate student selling her virginity for tuition. She got the bidding up to $250,000. Yay. No, Mama didn't tell you there were going to be days like this. I don't think so. Nor did the TV set, nor did any of these things. But we've got all these movies out there like Mad Max, their predictive programming, telling you this is going to be the future. There's nothing you can do about it. Just accept that you're a failure, and there's nothing you can do. And I get so sick and tired of people whining like little babies. They can't do anything. They don't have any power. Yeah, the handcuffs on them. You know, just like, you know, you just want to feed them baby food. You know, start talking down to them real slow and say, you know, there's bad people out there. You know, you know, it's parents today, in the same way they warn their kids about not getting in the car with strangers, taking candy from strangers, and not letting people touch them in certain spots. You know, they should be sitting down and talking to them about the real predators that exist out there. Explain to them what the police state is, the threat to their constitutional rights. Now they need to be aware of what their rights are. They need to be aware of the big banks and what they're doing and what their history is, and how they need to be financially responsible before they sign on the dotted line and they take out a loan because it's the easy way to go, because they keep finding ways, even though people are losing their line of credit, there's still new people popping up to loan money out that just continue the same old pyramid scheme. To continue the same old level of corruption. People have to be taught about money before they go and they borrow money to go to school from the Student Loan Corporation. Here you go, $25 payment. Don't worry, it's going to be like that till 2010. Then it'll be $89. Well, why is that? Oh, I get it. You just want me to pay for the interest, because if I just pay for the interest, I'm going to pay forever on this little piece of paper that really didn't get me anywhere. So again, that's more reason why people are going to be heading in the direction of revolution in this country, in the United States, in Western Europe, all around the world. Having said that, in conjunction with the other theme of this program, a discussion about the future, a future where there's more crime, and a future where people are being enrolled into the criminal justice system when they leave colleges and institutions, since most of them won't be getting jobs where they intended to get jobs. I am now reading from the CNN, and the headline says, Wanted, 850 new FBI agents. I guess they think they're pretty slick, saying, Wanted, 850 new FBI agents. Oh, it looks so cute. Story highlights from CNN.com. FBI goes on biggest hiring blitz since 1991. Posted on FBIjobs.gov, says they seek 850 agents and 2,000 support staffers. So they're actually seeking a whole bunch of people working for the FBI. Attrition responsible for openings, FBI says. And now it goes on to say, despite a bleak economic environment featuring wide-ranging layoffs and rising unemployment, the nation's premier law enforcement agency is promoting one of the largest hiring blitzes in the 100-year history. Okay. a lot of people are retiring again, as I said earlier. That's why they're doing this, so they say. But we all know there's more to the story than simply a lot of people retiring at the same time. Coverage of the news here and discuss anything and everything and anything that's on your mind at 866-841-1065. We have a caller, I believe. Let's see, I forget your name. You called the other day, right?
I did not. In fact, this is the first time.
Okay. Well, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Are you calling from the West Coast, East Coast? For some reason, I lost you for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think my phone is breaking up for some reason. I apologize for that. I live up on a mountain in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Believe it or not, that would be on the East Coast, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I live in a place called Mount Washington, so that may be a little bit of the reason why I may be breaking up.
No, you sound good. Well, yeah, well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hey, thank you for the show. I'm a new listener to Oracle, actually. I only started listening when Michael Herzog planted himself over there. And I've been listening to you guys, and I'm really liking what I hear. It definitely takes the whole scenario to the next level, as Josh always likes to talk about. And that's a lot what I'm into and where I'm going. But I think you have to excuse me. I'm a little bit nervous. This is the first time I've ever called a show. But I've been listening to you, and you sound like someone, like, you know, when you listen to a lot of radio show hosts, they're very, they seem very inaccessible. And you guys on Oracle seem like you're very accessible, like somebody that you could, like, talk to and actually have a conversation, not just get in two sentences and then be cut off. And I really like that. And that's what prompted me to call. And I hear a lot of what you're saying when you talk about, like, it drives you mad, like, when you're walking around in the real world and you know what's going on in the back of your head, and you're functioning on that level in the matrix, and it is just maddening. And when you try to bring somebody around to an awareness, not quite the awareness that you're on necessarily, but try and show them something on a level that they are on that they could understand, and they still don't get it. And what struck me was, like, in fact, this just happened to me today. I was talking to someone who just got out of one of these little fly-by-night technical schools, and they had school loans, and they were getting a check from the government to pay for the education, but they weren't necessarily going to use that to pay for the education. They were going to buy a car with that instead, and they were going to just make small payments on the loan and continue and do deferred payments. And I did that one time, and I paid dearly for it. When you defer payments, you end up paying a heck of a lot more than what your student loan originally was for. And I tried to warn this person of that. I said, you know, when you defer the payments and you go on, you know, you get forbearances, that delays the payment, yes, so you're covered for that month or that, you know, 3-month period, whatever it is, but that interest compounds, and so your final payment is actually going to be more, so you can't get caught into that trap. You're better off just doing whatever it is you can right now to pay that off. And they did not get that. And it was just like, okay, you know, and it was just like, and it was just all part of the bigger picture of how people get sucked into this debt prison. And And so it was just, you know, I tried to share some, you know, some personal experience with this person to enlighten them so they wouldn't fall into that same trap and they just weren't getting it. But what I'm left with is I have been onto this stuff. I've known for quite a long time, probably since like the mid-90s, when, especially when NAFTA and GATT got passed with Clinton and the World Trade Organization. It just was, I could not understand for the life of me why they were signing all these jobs away, and it was just driving me crazy. I was running around for the longest time with the people I work with, people in my family, saying, this is crazy. They were saying, no, this is great, this is great. I was like, no, don't you get it? And I had known at that time that something was drastically wrong, and you know, I've known that for up until the time I quote-unquote became awake, which was in 2006. I can remember that distinctly. I had known since like the mid-90s until like probably for 10 years from like 96, whenever Clinton signed NAFTA, up until like 2006, things just were not right, but I could not put my finger on it. And it wasn't until I started listening to Alex Jones and Alan Watt that the pieces began to fall together, and I began to be able to put this whole picture together and see the big picture and see all of the layers and the multiple facets of this whole agenda and this entire matrix. And what I'm left with is I know all this stuff, and I try to tell people around me, not like, you know, the whole big enchilada, but just in little bits and pieces to try and, you know, bring a little bit of enlightenment. And even if I do try and, you know, take it to the next level, people say, you know, my family, they'll say it is what it is, and there's nothing you can do about it, and I don't want to hear it. And I hear this same complaint from other callers. They call in with this.
Yes,
this,
you know, I have a lot of people saying the same thing to me. I was just talking to somebody about this last night, and somebody about it a couple days ago, and something about it a couple days ago. So, well, okay, at least where does that show you and me? It shows there are more people like us out there. And the last thing that they want is for us to realize there's lots of us out there, more of us than we're aware of. So that's why it's great to be doing, well, at least what I'm doing, and keep going. Well, we have a break coming up, but you can go ahead and stay with us through the commercial segment.
Well, if you don't mind, I have a little bit left more to get off my chest.
Yeah, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back, and that's absolutely fine with me. We have about a half hour left of the show. I've covered most of the news, so yeah, we have some time for that. And anyone else that wants to join the conversation at 866-841-1065. And in closing, before we go out of this segment, I'll say that if there's a couple things that can happen when you obviously talk with people. You can get them to open up and go, oh my God, I thought I was the only one who questioned 9/11 and the New World Order. Or you could end up getting rejected, insulted, and in some cases banished.
I do that. I've taken those risks, and boy, have I paid.
And we all have, but sometimes we have to do it anyway, because in the end, we just need to be there to plant seeds. And with that, we'll be back in about 4 minutes' time. Stay there. We'll be back in just a sec. All right, welcome back, everybody. Going back to our caller, where were we just at?
Well, no, I was just expressing my frustration with, you know, trying to bring enlightenment to others and having them reject you on one level or another, and then ending up feeling totally alone and isolated, walking around with all of this knowledge and information.
Are you on a cell phone?
No, I'm not.
Hmm.
Well,
I can hear you now.
I understand you can't have someone with a call that's breaking up all the time, so I guess I'll just wind up my comments. All I really wanted to say was, I guess, you know, I've heard this from many, many other callers on many other shows that feel just like me. They are, like, they're like, you know, you're just like a lone wolf in the wilderness, and you're like, What I really feel like is a person roaming the desert, dying of thirst, because I am just craving so badly just to find one soul, just one, who understands what I understand so that we could...
Yeah, right. That's in the flesh. That's in the flesh, not just you and me, because we're on the web, but in the actual flesh.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm a little bit older, and I'm not accustomed to going into all these forums and chat rooms, and it's so impersonal, you know, it just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I'm younger, and I believe the same thing, though. It's not.
Yeah, I mean, and even someone to talk on the telephone with, like I've put an ad in our city paper, I'm sure you have one out in Portland, you know, like the little magazine where they put all the nightclubs and they give you listings of where all the shows are and all that, and they have like listings for people who are doing things, different meetings, volunteers, clubs, this kinds of things. I put an ad in there, New World Order discussion/study group. I was thinking somebody might see this and call me. But it's been in there for 2 months, and I have not gotten one response. I didn't think I'd get a huge response, but maybe somebody won. But my frustration is I am just craving just some other soul to commiserate with and connect with, you know. I mean, I don't expect to change people's minds, although I try, but it would sure help a lot to find somebody along the way that is in the same place you are, and you can at least, you know, have moral support, you know. You know, just to know somebody gets where you're coming from is all. You know what I'm saying?
I was going to say that we have, like, a group here. We meet once in a while, and there's not a lot of them that talk about this kind of stuff, but I think that's important to do. If you could find a group of people, preferably at least 10, to talk about this stuff, it's good to have preparedness groups, too, especially when you're out there. You're in a – are you an area you're comfortable living in if you had to be on your own and self-sufficient in where you are in Pennsylvania?
I'm not in any sort of – wilderness or wooded area. I mean, I can certainly get to one very easily, but you know, I'm not
maybe not wilderness, but something that could be a community with it depends on your neighborhood where that people could be self-sufficient in terms of there's a lot of farmland out there, maybe not wilderness, but
there is a lot of farmland down here. And I'm sure, like I said, I must not be the only one. There must be other people like me, but I've got to find them, and that's why I put an ad in this paper to try and seek them out. But so far I haven't gotten any response. So maybe it'll take a little bit longer, but, you know. I mean, you know, exactly. I had been looking for a while to find a group. I looked on the computer, meetup groups in Pittsburgh. They have everything from ferret to, you know, I mean, you name it, but nothing.
Yeah. It's going to be a challenging journey. That's all I can say because I'm on the same path myself. But I've noticed that people get really inspired once they see a group that's already established that they might be able to learn something from. So groups tend to grow sometimes once a few people get started. They see a lot of people very confident about what they're saying, and they may want to join or listen in. These things can be set up at coffee shops because it's inevitable that people are going to have to talk to each other on an eye-to-eye basis, not on the web, in the flesh, not only to, you know, try to figure out what's going on, but also for the whole therapeutic nature of it all, the act of still being a human being, saying exactly what's on their mind without feeling that they have to censor themselves. All right. Well, I want to thank you for your call. We will talk to you another day. Thank you so very much for being a part of the broadcast. And with that, we are going to actually go on down to the next caller. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name? And where are you calling from?
Am I on the air?
Yeah, you are. We don't have a screener here, so we pretty much go straight to the calls as soon as they pop up.
Yeah, I my name's Eddie. No fake names or anything. That's who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm actually calling from continental Europe.
Mm-hmm.
First time I've ever called any show this type either. The last caller from Mount Washington really struck a chord with me. And I just want to say first off that I'm really impressed with Oracle Broadcasting. I've been listening for maybe 2 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
I followed Freeman over from wherever he was before, and I just discovered all you guys, and I really feel you're talking to me, and I this is the next step, you know, when I keep hearing from you and your colleagues, Alex, to, you know, push things to the next step. You know, we hear all the bad news. I won't name any other, I think we know, you know, some big name radio hosts who maybe harp on the bad news a lot. And that's mm-hmm. an eye-opener. It's shocking. But that's fine. Then where do we go from there? That's my big question always, you know. And in terms of, you know, trying, quote-unquote, to wake people up around me, I'm very wary of that. People don't need to be preached to. What I attempt to do is just drop gems. If I make an observation, people can either, you know, share it or not. And I find even in my own family, like nieces and nephews, the younger ones, like I'm practically middle-aged now, but the younger ones they're listening. They're looking at the future and they're saying, what is out there? You know, and I hear, you know, some people even saying, like, they're in their 30s and they're saying, I've done a degree or whatever. Like you were talking about, you know, having to pay off your student loans. I'm still paying mine off after all these years. Mm-hmm. And hey, what's there out there? You know, and so I think people will naturally start asking questions. And as times get tougher, those questions will become more frequent. And they'll be looking to somebody around them with some answers. So I'm, you know, personally, again, I'm very wary of being preachy. I don't know if that means anything. Alex, do you have any response to that?
Being preachy to people, trying to tell them all this stuff, bring them up to our level of understanding, you know,
exactly.
like similar to what the last caller was saying, yeah. So we have a break. You could stay on the line if you like. And in closing, as we go to break, we have to pause. But I can't talk to half the people anymore, and I'm done. That's what I have to say. It's time to focus more on what we do in our lives and get the message out there. And focus on the few that actually want to listen. We'll pause now and come back.
Okay. All right.
Welcome back to Outside the Box. I'm your host, Alex Hansery, and again, I'm here every day, Monday through Friday. At least I try to be, right here on OracleBroadcasting.com. I want to thank both of our callers that called in. We're going to go back to our caller who's living near Spain and discuss some of these things taking place. I want to ask the caller, being that you live in Europe, what do you think about what we're reading about in the news with Russia saying they're going to cut Ukraine off, or they have cut Ukraine off from natural gas, and the EU is very concerned about this, and do you think this could lead to something larger? What are your thoughts on that?
My gut reaction is I think it's got to be A, something in reaction to all the latest attacks, quote unquote, being made on Russia, or B, they're trying to provoke something. I think probably the first. I think, you know, like what happened in Georgia, this is probably it could be a reaction to that, but really I don't know.
Yeah, I just met someone last night that didn't even know about Georgia. Another young guy,
right.
Portland, Oregon boy that lives in the United States of America that does not understand. Same age as me, probably in his, you know, mid-20s, later 20s. We're talking about politics, and he had never even heard about what happened in Georgia. And it boggles the mind to see so much stuff happen in our government's name. And to feel this sense of impending doom. And I don't encourage panicking. I don't think we should panic, but to feel every day, you know, that some of the stuff that we've talked about for years is happening in our own backyards. And it on one hand, it's frightening. On another hand, it's also empowering when you realize it's happening all over the world and people are feeling that spirit within them want to get out. Instead of drinking, instead of smoking or hurting others or get involved in crime or the decadent culture that exists today, people are out there wanting to get answers and try to figure out how to get active. Because I get people every day going, how do I get active? You know, how do I be a part of the solution? I think we have to figure that out for ourselves, don't you? Because it's going to be different for each person in different countries.
Absolutely, yeah. And evidently, you know, a lot of the information I'm getting anyway, I'm, you know, making strides towards, you know, getting information from Ellen Road, but you don't always. I think a lot of it's coming straight out of the USA right now. So I think it's easy to, you know, to get scared. Maybe, you know, I have a bit of an advantage that I'm not in continental USA right now. You know, I'm on the other side of the Atlantic, so I have a bit of a perspective in that sense. But yeah, this has been coming. Like, the first time I ever heard of the Illuminati was, you know, in 1988, and I haven't seen lunch at the time. Yeah, you know, I heard about this, you know, their little, their group of 12 or 13. It was always like, you know, four. But then, you know, I couldn't find more information because it wasn't available. Now, you know, it's out there if we want it. And I think, by the same token, yes, that the New World Order is here already. That's without a doubt. I think it's been, you know, very clear over the last two or three years. You know, the bubble was, when the bubble was getting ready to burst, like real estate values here where I live were going up, you know, 20% a year, more than 20% a year, which is absolutely unsustainable. So it was bound to burst. It was obvious that it was being pumped up. So the New World Order is here. Okay. But by the same token, there's more, people are becoming more emboldened to talk. I personally am more emboldened. And the word, I think, keyword you put on, you put your finger on it is to be empowered. Just to be empowered. Not haughty, not, you know, big headed, not like I have the truth. No, just humble and empowered. And then from there, you know, take solid steps, like with, you know, with my feet on the ground. What can I do? And I won't be prepared for everything. But I gotta be prepared inside. Spiritually.
Yeah, yeah, we all gotta be prepared inside. So I'm looking at my world right now and I'm starting to see, the future, the near future for my area, and it doesn't look pretty. It's already not pretty. I got called off yesterday, called off today, but I also don't want to give in to that same fear. And, I'm gonna be someone that's gonna be continuing to bring us crazy, crazy headlines to the radio show, to bring all types of information, but I don't want to get freaked out about it. It's almost as if there's a part of me that wants to detach from the actual experience itself, but still know exactly what's going on, but just step back emotionally from the pain of it all. Because it is somewhat of an illusion, what's going on here on this planet. And we don't know exactly.
You look at the news of what's happening in Gaza, and it's just absolutely mind-boggling. I mean, words for me, I can't describe it. So, you know, why is this happening? Who, you know, what's the criminal element here? And, you know, what can we do about it? And sometimes, you know, absolutely today, there's nothing I can do about it except maybe pray even, you know, why not say it, to whoever or whatever. Like,
maybe that can have an effect. I believe so. The power of intent, but I don't honestly believe that I have a political voice to make a difference though in Gaza, unfortunately. So I can only look at so much of it. I can talk about it. I can say, now we're going to the next phase of it, because people have chosen to look the other way. What, at any point they can hold their American politicians accountable, like Barack Obama or many of these other individuals that have allegiances to countries like Israel. They're going to continue to stand with them and say, oh, they're attacking us. We have to, you know, propel, you know, depleted uranium ammunitions into a school. Total lunacy. But,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that part of the news, I mean, I saw some of the images earlier this evening, you know, the type of bombing, but they didn't even say that it was depleted uranium. Now, I know it is thanks to you people. But, you know, of course, if you go through traditional media, you have no way of knowing. And so, you know, you have to believe that, oh, well, they're just retaliating, they're protecting their own people, you know. And we know it's not true because, obviously we have other sources of information. Now, you know, of course, I have to trust too that the information that you know, you and your colleagues are sending out is truthful, at least to the best of your knowledge. But here, you know, we have this president of Spain who's saying, you know, this is not the way to achieve peace. Okay, fine, buddy, what are you going to do about it? Nothing. And you know, I hear there's your president-elect playing golf. You know, is he out there to provoke the people, to make people angry? Is that the reaction they want?
Hmm. But just to review here, so you said the president of Spain has, at least in the papers, called Israel on their genocide to a certain degree, or their killing
of
civilians?
I think he from what I could tell, you know, if you want, I could look more into it. Exact, you know, what his exact words were.
No, but it's okay. I think it's just all for show, though. It might be just for show.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It looks like, you know, all the governments there—they're fighting this evil Israel, but they're really not going to do anything about it. But they don't want to look like they're.
Right.
Yeah, because we're seeing this, aren't we? Seeing this in the UK, and we're seeing this in Europe, and the EU,
nope.
And France is doing it too.
That's right. There's no condemnation. France, I mean, Sarkozy, I think, went down there and even paid a visit. You know. So, you know, what are these jokers doing? I mean, obviously, they're not representing us. And this is my line to, you know, people in my immediate environment. I say, look, trade unions, the trade union movement is very strong over here. You know, so trade unions and politicians do not work for us. They work for their masters. And I get looks at, you know, maybe 8 out of 10 people look at me and they kind of go, oh. You know, and something seems to click for them.
Yeah.
Then they'll be the truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they will. We are now out of time. It was enjoyable talking with you this afternoon. Thank you for calling in, and do it again in the future.
My pleasure. Thanks.
All right, thank you. And we're out of time. AlexAnsary.com, ANSARY. That's my website. That's what the news is. As America limps on its last legs, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.